This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
So here we are, we're live here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff and Instagram. And oh my God, I got a lot of waves. I got a wave. So anyway, welcome. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. And of course on Instagram Live, here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time to do it. Free advice. I mean, you know, right now, to go to a veterinarian, first of all, you're going to end up waiting and it's going to be very expensive. And if you have an emergency or something like that, you know that, I don't know, 95% of them are not. And if you had a chance to talk to someone to get some advice, near your own personal veterinarian. As I said, I'm concierge all the way. I'm the idiot, at least according to my colleagues, that gives clients a cell phone. Now, who does that? So, I mean, people are amazed. They go, what? What? You actually give your client your cell phone? I said, yeah. And they said, you're nuts. I said, maybe I am, but I'm having fun. So anyway, just got back from VMX. It used to be called NAVC, North American Veterinary Conference, and it was one of the largest. Then they changed it to Veterinary Medicine and Expo, and it is, I mean, also VMX, it's huge. And I remember when I started going there 35, 38 years ago, if they got 8 or 9,000 people, that was amazing. And it was really at a much smaller hotel in Orlando. It was the Marriott. It was called the World Conference Command Center by Marriott, the World Center. And it was it. Then, as it started to grow, there was a hotel not too far away. There were buses that transferred back and forth called the Gaylord. And that, which was very impractical, two exhibit halls, which, you know, the Gaylord became the main one. It was a little bigger. And people didn't want to be at the Marriott. It was not nice. Anyway, then they moved over, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years ago to the, it was called the Orange County Conference Center, OCCC, not Orange County, LA, California, but Orange County, Orlando. And it's huge. It's massive. We had just shy of 30,000 people, 30,000. That's between veterinarians, the technicians or nurses. They call them whatever they, whichever state wants to refer to them as. I've been asking a lot of them input. You can chime in here. What name do you think is better for the veterinary assistants? Do you prefer, should you have them called nurses or technicians? So hello, first of all, JB, how are you? Stephanie, how are you? Just talking about you. Recently, we're going back to Cabo in a couple of weeks. So he'll be on our minds. And I hope, hello to George and Walter. So anyway, it's interesting because I want to know what people think is a more appropriate term. I wouldn't want to say nice or not nice, just appropriate for a veterinary assistant who is licensed. It's called an RVT. Right now, it's an RVT or RVN, registered veterinary nurse or registered veterinary technician, or some states use an L, LVN. LVT, it's a licensed veterinary nurse or a licensed veterinary technician. So that's been the new hot thing. Nurse versus technician, what kind of says it better? How do you feel? You know, if you were one, how would you want to be called and why? Let's chime in on that one. So anyway, so the nurses or technicians, the veterinarians, practice managers, front staff, front office staff, of course, the exhibitors and the speakers. It was huge, almost 30,000 people. Veterinarians from 86 countries across the world. I mean, that. It's huge. Anyway, the headliner was Kevin Costner, and I'm going to post about it. He was up there for 45 minutes being interviewed and just talking. I got to tell you, very approachable, very likable. And he was like, he's a real guy. You know, he grew up in Southern California. This is a plain old, you know, nothing fancy. And I mean, look what he's turned into his career. But I think he hasn't lost those roots of just being a regular guy. And he's my age. We're like, a month, he just turned 70 in January, and I turned 70 in December. So we're like a month apart in age, and really, really just a nice guy. Anyway, then I was working in two booths of companies that I work with. And I was also, because I don't know if you remember that, but usually the last week in January, every year for the last zillion, I am in Colorado at the Colorado Veterinary Medical Association, CVMA. It's called SCICE, SCI, C-E. And I love that conference. And VMX is always second, 2.5 weeks into January. So I used to come back on a Tuesday evening from VMX. And that following Sunday, I'm back on a plane to Colorado. This year, VMX had to be pushed back a week. And they literally were on top of each other. I was so upset because I need to be at VMX, but I love Skies. So anyway, not only that, I used to get a lot more hours because I had two back-to-back conferences. So I would get 28 of my 30 hours pretty much there. And now I had to cut that in half. So anyway, I'm going to the Western States, which was also pushed back 2 weeks. It's usually around President's Weekend in February. This year, it's the beginning of March. So I have to get some more CE because I mean, you need it to keep my license active. And I would be no fun if I couldn't work. So I love seeing the patients. But anyway, it was really a great conference. So let me see. We got some questions here already, which I love. Number one, I've been using low-fat Greek plain yogurt as a base for my dog's frozen treats. Is plain yogurt dangerous? Yes, it is. Now, understand one thing about, first of all, loaded with probiotics, which is great. But one of the things about dairy products, let's get this straight. Dairy is not toxic to pets. Now, what is the problem? As soon as a puppy weans, they automatically become lactose intolerant. So with the weaning, that same milk that kept them going when they were going through their first 4 or 5 weeks of nursing, now they become lactose intolerant. So it's not a matter of toxicity. It's a matter of diarrhea. And if you give a dog too much dairy as an adult or even a grown puppy, they may have diarrhea. And every dog handles it differently. Like I said, it's not like it's poisonous. You don't have to worry about anything bad. But if you don't like cleaning up diarrhea, and who does? Raise your hand if you're low cleaning up diarrhea. So then you got to be careful. So a little bit of yogurt, a little bit of, I used to give my dogs cheese. I still do as a treat. I just love cheese. So yes, it's okay, but in moderation. Don't overdo it or else you're going to feel sorry because you're going to have some lots of cleanup to do. But no, it's very good for them. All right. Happy Chinese New Year. Yes. And that's true. That's true. Especially you, Janice. So do you know what animal this year is? I don't know if it's good or bad. First of all, it's interesting. They have a lunar calendar too, but it's the year of the snake. So you got to, I don't know why, but be careful. Hey, Hope, how you doing? I hope everything is good with that nose. It's going to take some time. It's going to heal. A little Frenchie Gigi that I had to do some. I did the soft palate and I did the Nares. And unfortunately, pushed in face dog, they lick up and they're licking their nose. So I got to be careful about that. Hey, B, how you doing? Hopefully you're happy to be back in your home. That's my sister who had to evacuate because of the fires. Fortunately, nothing happened. And even more fortunately, she had a place to go to. Oh, my poor sis had to go like Arrowhead to their cabin. All right. No one was with Kevin, but he was great. I'm answering for my daughter. She's a critical care technician. I don't think you would like to be referred to as it. Really? It's interesting. So here's what I got. And first of all, let's preface this. It was a study a number of years ago. And if people were asked, who do you think are the most passionate, nicest people? What profession? You know what the answer was? Number one, nurses. Number two, veterinarians. Well, and I've heard this before. When someone understands, hears I'm a veterinarian, they go, you must be really nice. I guess. I hope I'm nice. But just because I'm a veterinarian, does that make me nice? So, because I can tell you a lot of veterinarians aren't so nice. But we're not going to go there. Anyway, so here's what I'm getting from more people. First of all, some people are used to, because tech has been the name for years and years and years, a veterinary technician. But when you think of a technician, okay, if I were to ask people, what does a technician do? Not veterinary, just a technician. Oh, well, they fix my refrigerator. They're really great with my computer. It's more of a scientific, hands-on, working with your fingers, electronic job or IT kind of thing. You know, when you call it someone to fix your computer, you're calling an IT tech. You're not calling an IT nurse. And what nurses, that tells you if someone's a nurse, they're assisting the doctor, they're working with the doctor. Now you have like really nurse assistants, you have physician's assistants, you have, you know, anesthesiology nurses. So there are a lot of medical assistants that now have a lot of rights. A nurse anesthetist, for example, can actually anesthetize people, and they work with, you know, in-office anesthesias, like whether it's a plastic surgeon or whether it's a foot surgeon. A dentistry that needs anesthesia, you have a nurse anesthetist come in. So my general consensus is that they like nurses because it implies someone who works in the medical field and who is very capable. As you know, when you go to hospitals, you're probably going to be more engaging with a nurse as opposed to the doctor. So again, keep chiming in. I'd like to know. Or for those of you who are not in the field, if you were going to the doctor and they said the technician will be in just a minute, or I didn't bring my computer with me, or the nurse will be in just a minute. So I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. I'm curious. I'm doing my own, you know, sort of study on it, and we'll see what happens. All right, Steve, how you doing? I hope you're back. Happy back home. All right. So yeah, all right. So I need some questions. So anyway, I had a couple of really interesting surgeries. I'm going to post this one. So a family that I've been taking care of their pets for years, they have two very, very old golden retrievers. I think like old, like 16, 17, and one's 15 and a half. And the dog is unfortunately old, doesn't get up anymore. But what's amazing about this particular dog, which is why we're having so much trouble, and the owners, the parents are having so much trouble making a decision, is that this dog, they walk in, that tail is hitting the floor. Food, oh my God. Even after the surgery I'm just going to talk about, they came in and I wanted them to visit and see how he was doing. And literally, she had brought some food with her. He is about taking her hand off just to get to the food. I mean, such vigor. But unfortunately, his joints and his muscles are just breaking down. So the poor guy can really not even stand up, needs help. And they put something underneath it to keep him walking. And because he's lost so much muscle mass, I mean, a lot of muscle mass, he's so bony and he has kind of like a bed sore gone bad. And not only was it a sore at the hip joint, but it actually completely opened up and it got infected and they were nursing it at home. And I mean, there was very little we can do at first. So I just kind of put some stitches in just to close the gap a little bit. They were very close to saying goodbye. I would support that decision. And yet they just can't because he is so happy still. He wags his tail. You know, he wants up on the bed. They pick him up. He eats like crazy. So anyway, the stitches all came out. And I said, okay, if we're going to fix this, we got to fix it right. So you'll see when you see the surgery. I had to cut away a lot of bad dead tissue and get some nice, clean, healthy, bleeding tissue. And I did a certain technique using the mattress sutures, put some little rubber tubes in there to protect the skin because you want to alleviate the tension at the incision line. So we have to sort of bring the tissue together. And then so when I finally stitch it, which I did, it's not going to try to pull apart right away. So anyway, the end result looks actually pretty darn good. I'm going to have to pat myself on the back on this one. Now the only hope is it going to stay? And only time will tell on that one. It is that we have to see if the tension can be relieved enough to have the skin heal, and then we'll know. Veterinary assistant, similar to physician assistant in the men's room. So that is, here's the only thing with veterinary assistant, Janice, and you're right, but in the veterinary world, an assistant is a non-licensed profession. So it's a job, and veterinary assistants work with sometimes the actual LVT, RVT, or LVN, RVN. So it is good, but now, unfortunately, that took the non-licensed technician. They can't say they're a vet tech. They say they're a vet assistant. So that might be a little tough to overcome. But yeah, a good thought really is. Is there a way to teach dogs not to growl over their meals near other dogs? So yes, the answer is. And how do we do it? Well, first of all, we have to start feeding them at different ends of the room. You want to be in the same room, but at different ends. Usually if they're that far apart, there is a distance, okay, threshold, we call it, narrower, closer to which that they start to growl. They start to become protective over their food. And I'm not talking other dogs too. There are many dogs that if they're chewing their bone, my aunt had a dog, Bicentennial Barnabas. She got him back in 1976 and he was a gorgeous yellow lab, the sweetest thing on earth. He will lick your face. He will do anything. He will jump on top of you in hugs and kisses. But you went near him while he's chewing his bone, forget it. You're going to lose a hand. It's the weirdest thing, Labrador. So here's the issue. So what you want to do is you need to find out what that threshold is and then have them close by and you ask your dog to sit, the one that's the growler, good boy, and give him a treat and then let him out his food. So what you want to do is teach him that every time the other dog comes just close, he's going to get a treat. And he's used to now wanting the other dog nearby because he never would get the treat if the other dog didn't come by. So he just has to feel comfortable that the other dog, even though closer in proximity, is not a threat to his meal and is all about positive reward. You cannot say no, 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 no. Figure out a way to turn that into a positive, turn it into a treat, something that the dog looks forward to. And then he will see the new dog or the other dog as a benefit, all right, instead of a detriment. So anyway, try that. Let's see. My cloud just, she has zoology from USCB, volunteer rescuing, rearing peanut pets for 11 years. She was sent to God. Oh, wow. So what's behind the label? She had more education than most. Oh, 100%. We're not, again, when you're talking about, you know, an assistant or a technician, the key here really is, you're right. I have, just so you know, the licensing process of veterinary assistants to become registered or licensed vet techs or vet nurses is relatively new. when I graduated, I never got LVT or an RVT. I was just a vet assistant, and I knew more, right? By the time I got to vet school, after working for 4 years at a vet hospital as a head technician, I knew more than some of the residents. I can do more than some of the residents. So there's nothing that replaces that hands-on. And I even say now, just so you know, that in many states, you can actually, if you have an option where you had worked for a number of years, you can get grandfathered in, you can do it all online, take the tests online, and get, you know, your certain letters of recommendation, and you can actually earn your RVT or RVN or LVET, LVN, depending on the state, virtually. You might have to go in for one practical, but I mean, you can do the whole course. Everything else can be done virtually. And for people like that, but unfortunately, it's not a matter of how much they know. But as far as pay, as far as salary, you will earn more if you have that license, registered or licensed. So I have two techs with me now that I would put ahead my RVTs. And they are fantastic. And they have years and years and years of experience and are so good. They just never. So I'm actually trying to talk them into getting their life. First of all, it should be a breeze for them to do. And secondly, it's going to be, from their pay standpoint, they'll make more money. So I would recommend it. But no, there's no doubt there are many, many unlicensed, unregistered techs, or call them whatever you want, nurses out there, assistants, that actually probably know more than some of the ones that are licensed. And so that's a gimme. All right. Wave, wave, wave. I got a lot of ways I want people to join me. All right. Anyway, now I'm getting dirty looks from our show producer that we haven't taken a break. So here we are, 9:23 at the hour. Here's our break. Don't go away. We're back after these short messages. Don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. We're back live here. So we're just talking about some veterinary medicine as a secondary career. I just recently met someone who was a lawyer, and after just not getting that fulfillment, always loved animals, wanted to, she went back to vet school. And now she's a JD DVM. And is in heaven. So anyway, one of my classmates, his name was Dick. He was an accountant for almost 20 years. And he just always loved animals. He grew up in Central California, growing up with animals and, you know, getting fairly miserable. And he and his wife had to that moment where they said, look, I can do this for another 20, 25 years and be miserable. Or one thing I always wanted to be was to be a veterinarian. She said, well, then go for it. Sure enough, he had to take a few classes to get his prereqs. He got into vet school and he was the oldest classmate. I think he was 40-something, 44 when he graduated. And most of us were 28 to 30. And anyway, I was 29. So anyway, he had a very fulfilling career. So it's never too late. You always have to ask yourself, am I good doing this? Can I do more in this field for more money, more respect, more enjoyment, to be able to actually do more as a veterinarian than as an assistant? And then if so, then go for it. There's no downside. Time, tincture of time, but you can actually do really well. Oh, she is an RVT. Well, perfect. If she's an RVT already, then of course. And, you know, again, that's a technician. Look, I think RVTs are great. And I got to tell you something. I use my RVTs a lot because there are many things in many states they can do now where they can actually do dentistries, they can extract, they can sew up wounds. So if I am doing a surgery and I've closed the body and now we just need a skin closure, I take the gloves off. It's just like in medicine. You have the almost like the resident or something. Here, my RVT can do the closing and it's great. How often do you need to retest for titers, distemper parvo? My golden is actually reactive. Grateful to educating me. Okay, so that is a really good question because when you give a vaccine, we do know that depending on state, let's say distemper parvo vaccine as an example, it's good for 3 years in most states. So now the question is, when you do a titer, you're taking a blood test to evaluate a dog's protection. How much immunity do they still have from either natural immunity or from whenever the last time they did get a shot. So we don't know at what stage and for how long. So I would say once a year would be the best option. Now, if you do say 2 years in a row and they're doing great with a high titer, you could probably say, you know what, we could probably wait 2 years. I wouldn't wait three, only because if I'm wrong based on a guess and no science to prove it, and they should get distemper or parvo, it could be deadly, especially the distemper. Parvo we can treat in many cases, not all the cases, but that distemper is not a good thing. So if you want to be really careful, do the titers once a year. And as soon as they start getting low, boost. Now, because of the reactions, if you are knowing in advance that your dog has a vaccine reaction to one of the agents or in the vaccine itself, it's usually the adjuvant, it's usually the preservative, it's usually not the antigens. So just know that. Then I would be to feel more comfortable. And then I would boost. But before that booster, I would give a little Benadryl, maybe a little bit of, you don't want to do cortisone because it might interfere with the development or the reacting to the vaccine and having the body manufacture more antibody. But something like Benadryl could be fine. It'll help just control any reaction. They do really fine. Leptospirosis vaccine, for example, seems to be the one that's most often implicated in these reactions. I always offer giving a little shot of Benadryl, sitting in the front office waiting for 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll go ahead and give the shot. And they usually do just fine. Now, I wanted to talk about, I'm glad you brought this up. Let me just see if there are any questions first before we go on to another thing. Okay. So speaking of vaccine, there's a lot of questions I get about multiple vaccines. How many can you give at one time? How many should you give at one time? And I used to think that when you give a lot of vaccines at once, you're overloading the immune system and it starts going crazy and it may not manufacture the antigen well enough. The antibody well enough. So I then talked to an immunologist, a human immunologist. And remember, in human medicine, under even internal medicine, right, or pathology or whatever it is, there are subspecialties. Like I had a problem with my eye, I got hit an eye with a basketball. I got these little floaters. And I went in and I got a little tear in my retina. And now this very great ophthalmologist is sending me to a retina specialist, which is kind of crazy. What? Just the retina. What they do is crazy. So anyway, immunology. And the guy was telling me, this doctor, he says, it is not in a regular basis, our bodies, right, are basically faced with dealing with thousands or millions of antigens at any one time. And a good, healthy immune system has no problem with that. So then what is it? Why is it that sometimes when you give multiple shots, these animals get reactions or they get very depressed or get painful? He says, it's not the number of antigens. It's the amount of other things. When you make a vaccine, you have to put it into a liquid form, right? It's got to be preserved. So you got to put preservatives in there. The adjuvant is the carrier. And that's what causes the reaction. So if you have a multivalent vaccine, but only one set of adjuvant, of preservatives, then you're going to be fine. But that's better than giving individual vaccines, but all three separate. Why? Because in each of the single vaccines, you're going to have more adjuvant, more preservatives, and that's what builds up and causes the reaction. So when you want to separate vaccines, that's okay, but don't say you have to separate distemper and parvo. That's worse. Just do the distemper, parvo, parainfluenza combo. It also has adenovirus or hepatitis virus. So it's the DHP, but they call it DA2PL now. And that's with lepto. If you're going to give lepto and you need to give distemper parvo, do the combined. And that way it's only getting one set of the preservative in the end, but you're getting all the antigen, but the antigen is not the problem for the body to respond to. So that's it. So when I have puppies, for example, even, and had nothing to do with size, not really. If they're going to react, they're going to react. So on the very final set of shots, I may give the distemper parvo, that's one combo. I'll give a Bordetella. And if due for rabies and influenza also, I'll wait 2-3 weeks, have them come back, and then give the rabies with the influenza. My limit is basically, usually, unless it's a must, I give two vaccines. Now, what do I do if it's an issue of travel or going into the doggy daycare and they need these vaccines? I got to get them all at once. What we just talked about. I will go ahead. I will give a pre-injection Benadryl. Let the dog sit for 10, 15 minutes in my waiting room, and then have him come back in and we'll give the shots and let the owner know. It's not dangerous. It's not going to go into anaphylaxis, but it will be sore. It might be, you know, under the weather for a day or two. And that's kind of what we're trying to prevent. So if we have the luxury of time, then I like to separate things out. If we don't, you just got to prepare for a possible reaction. And then also, I got to tell you, I have many, many cases where I give all the shots, no problem at all. So you never know. All right. So I think that is it. That's all the time we have. That's for darn sure. Okay. So the drill, as you know, I want to hear from you. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me, Dr. Jeff, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. You can reach me on Instagram, Worbs_DVM. Look, I have some couple of good posts that are going up. And please talk to your friends. If they want to have access, they can get a hold of me. Just tell them to, you know, log on. Also, they can join our show every Sunday. And you can just go to Worbs_DVM and start following me on Instagram and tell your friends. And then that's great. By the way, at this conference, I met so many amazing, speaking of nurses, vet techs there. I met a lot of great vet students that have just, it's all about the passion, had the passion. And remember, for those of you who might be thinking of someone or know someone who's thinking about veterinary school, there are now up to, I think, 35 or 36 vet schools in the country. Some new ones are popping up all the time. The class sizes are growing. When I went to vet school, there were 128 in my class. Now there are 140, and they're just building a brand new vet school at the teaching hospital. It was brand new a couple of years ago. Now they're adding more, and they're increasing the class size in the next couple of years to 150. We are trying to graduate more veterinarians. We unfortunately are seeing the veterinary careers dropping. Very few veterinarians that are still actively practicing after 40 years. So I'm becoming that dinosaur. But at the trade show, I did see, I talked to a couple of vets, and the vet that I work with at Value Vet, he just turned 80 and he's still going. I mean, I wouldn't say strong. He works 2.5-3 days a week, but he's there. And I met a number of really, really cool, sharp, sharp veterinarians into their late 70s, early 80s that are still practicing. And I fear that I might be one of those if I could stay healthy. This is my golf. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm afraid that my clients would kill me if I stopped showing up to work. So if I have to say, if I'm stuck doing this for a long time, boy, I can think about many worse things I could be stuck doing with. So I'm thrilled. All right. See you next week. If you have questions, you can answer. If they're really good, I may answer you, but I'm also going to repeat it on the show next Sunday. Now, next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, the Eagles against the Chiefs. So, that's going to be a very good game. The Eagles really played well against Washington. So, you know, I'm very curious to see how they do against Mahomes and the Chiefs, who are like almost unstoppable. All right. So next week it is. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff here on Instagram as well. So see you next week.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.